So, I just wanted to touch in today about the Vision Quest, which you've all come through, and walking through your rites of passage with this course. And traditionally, a Vision Quest, well, first of all, was as common as it is now for a youth to get a driver's license. It was just standard issue that a youth would go through their Vision Quest, which would entail spending 5 nights and 4 days in the forest or desert or whatever alone, with your elders holding the fire at base camp while you journeyed into the spirit world. And one of the reasons for doing this, originally it wasn't like for healing necessarily. It was a rite of connecting with your spirit and creating a relationship with your spirit. And so the majority of people aren't doing this anymore as a rite of passage. There are some schools out there, the one I went through, School of Lost Borders, there's the Animus Institute, and they still offer those outdoor experiences. And I know a lot of people in my circle and all the different circles I travel in, and I don't know anybody who else who's done a vision quest. It's just such a rarity, but a necessity. Just the other day, I was coaching somebody who's in her 50s, and her spirit is quite detached. I mean, she just has no relationship with her spirit, and this has been going on for her for like 15 years. I mean, since she really noticed it. So just because you might bypass it and get away with it for a while in youth, it is going to catch up. And especially these days, as the poles have reversed, time is speeding up, the dream is compressing, all these things are coming more and more to the light. So, that's why I've developed this program. There's probably other people doing other things to help those who, don't have either the funds, time, or inclination to spend 5 nights alone in the desert. And so we've done it this way. We've stepped into the spirit world through this course, and you've met many aspects of the spirit world, yes, as we do when we journey with the plants. But in this course, we've been able to know them by name, like in the Jumping Mouse story, where you stand in that place with the old mouse and you can see the beings of the prairie and know them by name. And the value of that is that, if you ever find yourself completely in the unknown, the void, as it were, and there is nothing there that you recognize, nothing familiar. If you have a good grasp on the spirit world, which is to say that which is invisible, you will be fine. If you know what your spirit is, what soul is, what the void is, what anger is, what joy is, when you become familiar with these things and how they work, you will not be lost. Even if nothing around you feels real or familiar, which is part of the story I told of the woman with dementia, yeah, in one of the lessons, how she went into that realm where, it was her word something like, I would just never thought of something like that. Just never occurred to me that could be possible. And as we're being told, the world, we're going through a major shift right now, and it's highly likely that people will start coming to this place. People have in the past, and it's been called schizophrenia or been institutionalized. But there's just not going to be enough institutions to hold everybody. So it's better to learn how to work with it. Now, when I was sent off on my vision quest, the elders, one was a 53-year-old man and the other was a 35-year-old woman, very brilliant young woman. They said, just take what you need. If you really need to take some food with you, take it. If you need some crafty stuff, take it. And so a few of us did. One woman took a bag of bagels. I'm not sure what became of them, but and another woman took some yarns and needles and beads and stuff. And she ended up making little people for all the different participants out of the skeletons of cactuses and whatever she could find out there, which is really sweet. And I took a Kit Kat bar, which at the time I was like a V, I was vegetarian, super healthy eater. And I was just like, this is something I would not normally have with me. I'm going to take a Kit Kat bar. And they have four pieces, right? And I thought, well, I'll have one each of the 4 days and make it a ritual, celebration, whatever. Yeah, I ate the whole thing on the first day. Was that? But you know what I'm getting at is just that we are doing things a little differently now, and it is still a vision quest. So, you know, as we are now at the end of it, basically, you know, we had our 4 days, 5 nights, and then we came back, and there was still another 3 days. And that was the time that we sat in council and we, you know, integrate process or not the right words. We just sat in our experience, basically, in council. And we each took turns sitting in our experience. So I'd like to invite you to do that. Kind of. It's not exactly even a summary, but you know what's coming out? What's you know as you're coming to this new shore, let's put it that way. And you have a cargo for the people from your travels. What you have learned in the spirit world, what you have gained, and you sort of unfold that in front of them, you know, like a little thing you carry on your shoulder, and then you unfold it in front of them. So, what are you bringing to the people? Because that is, you know, part of the third act as well in screenwriting and stuff. Is you bring some, you bring your treasure back to the people. So, if you'd like to speak into that. And even sort of highlights that how the teachings came up in you, what did you get? Did you discover?
It's funny because there was so much information, and more in the beginning, I was a little overwhelmed, like, how am I going to take all of this in and understand it all and then integrate it and apply it? And it's funny because at this point, more and more, I'm seeing the simplicity of it all. I'm understanding more and more how simple life really is. You kind of just, it's kind of like stripping off all these layers and getting back to the basics and lightening your load. And I guess just freeing yourself up to be authentic, rather than trying to play along with all of these rules and ideas of who you have to be and what you have to know and what you have to do. Because as you learn to be in the now more and more and more present to the moment, it's not really a, you don't have to rely on all these heavy bags of knowledge and ideas and conditioning and rules. It's just a spontaneous, like, this is what's coming through me right now. This is what I want to do right now. Yeah,
And it
it's
does take
simple.
a discipline to get there, you know, like
Yes.
we were saying about, you know, you're mapping your flints. It's called flint mapping, you know, when you chisel them and sharpen them and shape them. So the writing too had a way of doing that, of just like chipping away at this, chipping away at that, even though it didn't make sense sometimes. And you just say, where is this coming from? I mean, I had that experience writing it too, right? It was so.
Well, it's kind of neat though, 'cause I really recognized, especially with feeling how insecure and lost sometimes my inner child would be feeling, that boundaries and discipline were a really good thing for me. And yet the more comfortable, I would start out by like setting these solid boundaries and rules for myself, but and it was good. It was good in the beginning, and yet you have to be careful not to make those too rigid and allow them to stretch and sometimes come in more too. Because if you get too rigid in the rules and disciplines you set for yourself, it's like you might be trying to do one thing that's really good for the moment, and maybe like a few weeks later, this was my experience anyway. I'm sure that I'm missing a few parts of this, but a few weeks later, trying to do the same thing, it doesn't feel authentic anymore. It doesn't feel appropriate to the present moment.
I say you got
So,
it.
yeah. So again, it's like come back to the moment. What do I need right now? And if I really do need a lot of discipline and boundaries right now, be willing to do that. But at the same time, recognizing when I don't need this kind of discipline right now, allow it to stretch bigger if I need to, or shrink. So in that, I guess it becomes more simple, but I've had to train myself to get to the point where I can see it as that simple.
Beautiful. Yes, that's what responsibility is all about, responding to what is in the moment. And that's what creativity is also about. We can talk a little bit more about after. And that is really, one of the greatest gifts besides life, which comes with creativity, is your creativity returned to you. Basically, the shore that you come upon at the end of this is your creativity, which has been masked in all these layers of social conditioning and should and shouldn't and baggages of knowledge. I know how to do this already. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Good medicine. Do you feel like speaking right now? Yeah, or we could just move along. Can you hear me?
Were you asking me?
Oh, yeah. I just wonder if you
Oh,
feel like speaking now, or we could move along onto something else.
okay. Sure. I feel like there were so many layers that have been taking place during this walk. Well, just in this moment, there's like an image of a pine cone. When the little bits of the pine cone loosen and fall off the core of the pine cone. So I had that sensation along the way of ways that I had known
myself, ways that identified me as me. Just loosening and sort of falling off. And so I've been feeling a lot of space. A lot of what Maria talked about is just being right, just right with this inner wind almost, that it'll just come, that now I go here and now I stay and now I go again. And I'm enjoying that a lot. And I, one of my other thoughts or questions have been embarking on this had to do with creativity. And at that time, what I was thinking of is, what is my next creation, was the way I was putting it. And in my way of thinking about projects, which are perfectly useful little containers, so I've been keeping an eye on certain projects that I had set out for myself and just noticing how I relate to them or what's going on with them. And I don't feel very much control, but I seem to be showing up for each little seed that needs tending on the way toward the project. And this weekend, I had a very unexpected healing experience, because for me, the thread of my singing is lifelong, and I really have been to Hades and back on that one. And I went, someone, a lover who passes through once in a while, wanted me to come over to this jazz festival where he was working. And I kind of thought and felt for a while about whether I really wanted to see him, and I decided, yeah, I did. And so I went over, and this festival was a teaching festival, and he's a teacher as well as just a world-class guitarist, and it was incredible. And it was a festival for high school jazz choirs. So there were these young people, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of them. Teens in, high school, and then these master musicians leading all these classes for the kids. And because I wasn't enrolled, I didn't even really realize what this was going to be. I could just sit in on all of the classes. So I get to sit in with these really phenomenal women vocalists off the hook. And I didn't have to have any anxiety of being a student sitting there. Do I have to get up and do my song? So I was really free to just,
Be.
yeah, and just all of this beautiful, beautiful seeing and feeling and hearing just flowing through me. And God, I felt so much joy of being in the quiet position. And it really filled in a whole bunch of blank spaces from when I was a teenager. Like, what would this have been like to have this support and this love and this level of guidance around the craft, really? It was very healing and fun and easy. And then when I felt like leaving, I just left. It's like I didn't have to stay and get every last drop. It was just like, oh, here comes the inner wind. It's time to go. Bye. And I also was able to be present with this friend of mine at a completely different level. It was pretty interesting. I felt like our souls were really chatting away. And again, there was no rush of any kind to get anywhere or do anything that was most enjoyable, but something was happening there. And it was easy to just waft off and leave him when the time was right. So some kind of ease and, being. And lastly, I'll say that what's happening in this musical project that I have, a gig coming up on April 8th, and I've told you before that I'm always looking for, that I'm not gonna abandon my English speaking modalities of jazz and folk, but how do you bring the spirit through in that form? Or not bring it through, but how do you occupy the deeper spaces even while you're in a jazz form, for instance? And that's starting to happen, and the songs that I'm picking are so beautiful. And they're all really, many of them, about, well, they're just vehicles for me to commune with my spirit, I guess. And so I'm getting that surprising feeling of, wow, look at that song. What is that song that's appearing to me now, wanting to be brought through or spoken for, represented, the spirit of that song? And then my circle technology project, I'm not sure what's going on there. I thought that was going to be some big deal, and it's just kind of slowly converging, and if it doesn't, it's okay. So,
beautiful. That's really beautiful. Yeah. What you seem to be describing is really being authentic.
Yeah.
You know, and just again, authentic is being in the moment, watching, witnessing. Hey, look at that! I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And wow, look at me go. Doing nothing. Look at me go, doing nothing, just being here, letting, you know, being that, sorry, my thing went off, being that jellyfish in the ocean, right? Just everything is coming through you. All the nutrients you need are just being filtered through you. All you just showed up. You got yourself in the car. You know, I was at a peyote circle once, and I spoke about this, where in the morning, you know, it was a beautiful, brilliant night, and in the morning, it was just all these cars of all the people. There was about 60 people there that night. And I was like, oh man, you know, I'll come back to reality, so to speak, after the big ceremony, and there's just cars in the field. And I talked to the road man, and you know, he just said, just thank them. They got you here. A car got you here, and the car got you to your event, you know, so you could absorb it all. And you spoke really eloquently about, if you remember, the ancestors say, be a good wind. And you know, the way you spoke of it as well, it's not about blowing on other people. It's like feeling that good wind. Be the, like Gandhi says, be the change you wish to see. Be the good wind. Like, that's what it feels like. That's fantastic. Super fantastic. Yay. There's one other thing too there. What if? Have you ever read Judy Derrick's book, Circle of Stones? It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And the whole book, it's all about healing using the words, what if? She goes through, and it's all mostly for women, and she goes through scenarios. What if when I was 14, my music teacher, you know, or I had this experience, it actually makes it so. The words what if are very powerful. What if? And I saw you already going there. Like when you said it, it wasn't like excluding. You all of a sudden became completely inclusive in that experience. You were the 14-year-old girl sitting there. So you can do that. That's called time travel. You can go back and rewrite it. And it's a wrap. Final draft, so to speak. So that's a very powerful tool. Very powerful. And the thing about going to do about sort of being in a very new place and not really knowing what things are, but being okay with that. But let's just jump over to talk about creativity a little bit. And to do it in the way of counsel, where when we put our minds together and, you know, we put creativity in the circle, or in the same way in Wachuma ceremony, where we pass a word around and everybody says, you know, how is it for you to be creative? But in this case, more of like, if your creativity is sitting in front of you, what does it look like? Because again, with all these kinds of things, in the creativity is an invisible thing. And so, you know, people ask for generosity, they ask for compassion, but would they know it if it walked right up to them and looked them in the face? No, because they don't know what it is. So let's get more familiar with your creativity, and it's going to look different to each one. But as long as you know what it is. So if you're sitting here right now across the table from creativity, what would it look like? How would it feel? Really describe it, you know, develop the character of it. And, you know, this will go on. You may just sort of just, you know, have a first date right now and get to know it more over time.
I guess for me, it's almost like it looks like a really sensual woman. Like a dark-skinned Earth mama. Very sensual, as in very much in touch with the senses. Very earthy. And like getting the most out of the tiniest bit of everything. You know, like that's what it feels like, almost as, you know, while you're eating your meal, like just reveling in the color and every flavor of your food. So there's a real fluidity in it as well.
Beautiful. Again, you're having this beautiful inner experience, huh? Like you can feel being that woman and that, having that meal. And that's like sort of what we've done throughout this, is that toroid sphere. You've been turned inside out now. It's, you know, be creativity, not splatter paint on canvas and stuff, which is fine. But, you know, even Margaret Atwood, and there's a number of writers, the guy who wrote Stranger in a Strange Land, they both allude quite often to art as being a crutch of a civilization on the edge. That when art shows up again, it's like, oh no, it's slowing us down. Really? Check it out, Margaret Atwood, Owen Onyx and Craik, and some other books. There's this, like, art is largely misunderstood. I mean, there's that one line that says, the responsibility of the artist is to make the invisible visible. That's what we're doing. You, each of you now, are artists. You know, you're artisans, like the artesian well is constantly being filled. That's art. You know, expressing it outward is lovely, and I mean, I certainly have beautiful paintings on my walls that I really appreciate, but it's not the whole of it. It's the external expression of it, but it won't feed you, as many an artist knows. It won't feed anybody. So But creativity, I mean, just the way you described it, specifically related to the act of eating. That's what feeds us.
Yeah, this the art is like the act of feeling it, of being it, of experiencing it. When it becomes the actual art piece, that's when you let it go. And it's not really you or yours anymore. Yeah, and I think perhaps that's where I had been. I mean, it's really simple, I guess, but I just to see it in that context, perhaps where I've maybe been stumping myself a bit is always focusing on the end piece rather than the experience of it.
Ready?
Well, I didn't see anyone, but I heard sounds. First was very, very high sound, and then like this little pipe tune. I like what you just said, Maria, that the actual moment of the artwork is actually the end of the creative gestational process. And one of the most joyous parts for me when I get inspired about working with my music is me alone working with my music. It's just, it's like being in some kind of beautiful land where all these different things are happening, and I never know what's going to happen. And then I'm throwing my voice around, and it's a total freedom because I don't care. And no one can hear me, and I lose all consciousness of that question. And that is really, that's the funnest part. And then sometimes that happens with others. If your container is strong, something starts to happen where nobody knows what's happening, we're just in it. But the sound, hearing the sounds. I woke up the other morning hearing sounds and recorded them on my voice memo. So that's a first date with that concept of creativity, of just hearing sounds and responding accordingly without trying to make them into a song. In a recognizable form.
Beautiful. Phew, really kind of takes the pressure off, eh? Yeah, I think in the last lesson we talked about, maybe it's in the one still coming because I'm always sort of one ahead about, you know, we're so used to being pressurized. We respond based on pressure. Push, push, push this way, push that way, get it done. It's supposed to look like this, you know, supposed to make you money, blah, blah, blah. And so now we're learning to respond to life more like the skin of a drum, which still does respond to hot and cold, like in the void. And in that sense, it's kind of pressure changes, but not so much pressure. Actually, the drum doesn't, it's not about pressure. It gets soft when it's damp and it gets tight when it's hot. And it sounds different one way and another. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. You know, there's no right or wrong about it. It's getting a nice sound or a, you know, not so nice or whatever, but just that not being pushed around anymore. Yeah. Following your inner guide, because you found your inner guide now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's such a relief, you know, freedom, as you were saying. That is the liberation we're talking about. And the thing is, life is still going to go on around us as it is for quite a while. And I know when I came back from my vision quest, and even after our 3 days of counsel and you know, just getting ready to return, my first place of return was the LA freeway system. So I went right out in the Mojave Desert into my car rental and to get to the airport in Los Angeles. I actually went to meet a friend for dinner, but oh my God, you know, just being thrust into that. And at one point I went to flip my rear view mirror so the lights behind me wouldn't shine in my eyes. And apparently there's an emergency button behind there, which I never heard of. And all of a sudden this voice comes on in the car saying, "Hello, you've reached 911. Can we help you? Where are you? What's happening?" Where is this voice even coming from? And it was, anyways, you know, LA rental car, right? So just on that note, though, that we may find ourselves, though you have found yourself, certainly had many dates with it anyway, coming to know it better and better. You know, there is this re-entry point. So when we come back from the spirit world, the vision quest, we actually cross back over the threshold. And before we do that, we're smudged. There's a ritual and ceremony when you come back, before you go re-enter the modern world, so to speak. And so just for you each to think about that, because we are pretty much at the threshold now, coming back. There are on Monday and Wednesday, there'll be two more pieces to come to you, just to sort of finish up. But to acknowledge that you've gone and done your vision quest and you've spent that time in the spirit world, you've seen about how complexity leads to simplicity and about your authentic self and your creativity. And so just to kind of not corral that or harness it up, but to just acknowledge it, recognize it. And maybe even do a little ceremony for yourself of some kind to say, you know, like after Wednesday or whenever you feel like it, to just come back through that threshold, just smudge yourself even to say that I'm walking back now. I'm coming back to the people and I'm a different person. And they may not recognize me. And they may think I'm poison. Because I have seen things that they have not. You know, to stand in your power. We transitioned from that place of adolescent, which is stand in your power, to the adult, which is give birth, give life, mother, give birth, give life, father, which is about creativity. Not necessarily about bearing children, although that comes at that time. So, you know, just acknowledge that you've moved through those places, you know, use that power that you've gathered in the adolescent to fuel you fully into the place of the adult, and then make some kind of marker that is done. So smudge yourself, whatever you want it to be. It's a, you know, put a stone in a certain place to remind you. Just have some kind of reminder that you've done this. Yeah, good. We were just looking at our creativity before you joined, Nicolette. If you feel like speaking to that, we're doing it like council style of getting to know your creativity. If your creativity is sitting right in front of you, or as we spoke earlier, we are coming to the other shore now, and you're going to be disembarking from the ship we've been on through this journey. And you see this being on the shore waiting for you. And it is your creativity. Or maybe it's not a being, maybe it's something else. But, you know, the idea is about, would you know your creativity if it walked up to you and said hello?
I've been with a lot of people this weekend. I ended up being asked to join this bit of a circle of sorts just to kind of help hold space or whatever, mm-hmm. and just to participate. And my creativity right now is kind of, well, I can only speak about my emotion at the moment. I'm angry. I'm angry. And I feel kind of, like, it's not like I want to hurt anything or anything like that. It's just like, always felt this way kind of when I'm around social settings like that, like where it's, where other, how do I speak? My creativity is pretty powerful. It's, I think it's fueled by noticing what's going on right now, just everywhere. Well, in my part of the world anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm very much in my emotions today. I have a deep-seated feeling of injustice just with what looks like the loss of tradition in a lot of areas, and it's pretty deep.
Well, you can listen to this broadcast another time because you missed the part we were talking very much about tradition.
Okay.
And so I don't want to go through that again. But, you know, I think that is something for you to acknowledge, that your creativity is wrapped up with some anger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, love is creative. Love will break your heart or mend your life. Creator is creative. Creator will destroy things, you know, if that's what is on the menu for the day. So, and to be in touch with that, though, because, you know, as you become a creator being, right, you're the ante goes up really big, big time. And so you must know from where you are acting, or you will hurt others and destroy yourself. So there is injustice. We know that. And so we pray to the four directions for justice, because it is not in our hands. We pray to the four directions: peace, mercy, love, justice. Those things are not ours. But as we talked about earlier, we can be a good wind. Let them pass through us. Let them get to where they're going, not be blockades for them. Because that's what happens most of the time. People are activists protesting. They are actually sometimes the blockades themselves. I mean, they call them human blockades in some cases, but it's like, you know, getting out of the way. Mind your own business. Your business is to get to the heart of your creativity. You know, because it is a place of getting to know yourself, really. That's what creativity is. Like, who am I? What am I? your creativity is the opening to that. And as we spoke earlier, it's not about painting and drawing and necessarily writing music or anything. It's the experience that becomes that comes way before that. And may not even end up as that. It's the experience that comes, you know, in that moment of creation inside of you, birthed inside of you. So just continue to touch in on that. I'm glad you brought it up. And to do what I was speaking of about acknowledging that you've done this work, you've taken this course, this 52-day vision quest. You know, you've taken your rites of passage and acknowledge that in some form for yourself. And that makes it so. And everything that you absorbed in this journey through the spirit world is in you. It is absorbed. And it'll bubble up and come forth in just the right moment. All the wacky things you read and concepts and like, what the hell is she talking about? You know, it'll just bubble up in the right moment. You know, as long as you get out of the way. And all the teachings of the medicine wheel, the teachings in the stories and Jumping Mouse and First Mother, First Father, and even those songs, that's what I meant to mention earlier. So I was talking about like jazz, as if jazz wasn't medicine. I don't know, maybe I misunderstood you, but like, whoa, that's some strong medicine jazz.
Yeah.
And I've heard it alluded to. I'm not sure what its medicine is. I'm not a big jazz, but I know it's big. You know, they use it in movies all the time, right? They allude to jazz. It means something specific. I don't know what that is yet.
It means improvisation.
But there's more to it. I mean, it's like, it's called for.
When
jazz is mentioned, it's to counter something that's already been called for. You know, and maybe it is, there's some improvisation there or something, but there's like, it's a definite strain of medicine. And that's why I also attached all those, you know, 1970s, 80s songs to the teachings. And some of you are younger, you may not have recognized them, but they're all medicine. They're all medicine. You know, medicine song doesn't have to be in Spanish or Quechua or anything. English works too. They're different. They do different things. Like jazz does something different than the blues. But they all have their place. So, yeah. Just learn a song, any song. You know, they say when you come to an end, it means it's time to sing your song. Now, in African culture, everyone was given, some parts of the culture, a child was given a song. And that was their song. But, you know, we got lots to choose from. Probably all the same, really. Like today I saw in somebody had a thing where we are the ones we've been waiting for, in quotation marks, was quoted as Alice Walker having said it. I thought, well, that was the Hopi prophecy, but, you know, maybe they borrowed it from Alice Walker, right? I don't know. It's like Nelson Mandela and Marianne Williamson, right? Who are we to be? Not be the light. Because you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't really matter who said what anymore and who owns it. And in the bottom of the pieces now, I have common copyright because it means it's just common. It's common sense, actually. So, you know, don't get too caught up on that. Like, that's their words and my words. That's their song. That's your song. That's your song. And we're just respect it in its form, not to dilute it or tear it apart and then try and make it yours, but just in its original form. So there's just so much medicine around us, especially in the songs, I find. And all the little silly videos, even the ads. I don't know if all of you got the same ads I did, but whenever I would click on one of those videos, I'd be like, this ad is So perfect. It's exactly talking about what we're talking about. How could they possibly know? So, just be able to live your life that way. Just look at everything as a gift. As a gift, as a gift. And sometimes the gifts come and they don't fit. No, they're wrong size. They're maybe not your favorite color, but they're still gifts. So, and that's the same with all the people around you when you go in those social situations, yeah?
Yeah.
When you give other people a hard time, you're really giving yourself a hard time. I can see that in you. You're exhausted by it. Yeah?
I am.
Yeah. Just like, give it up. Give it up. Yeah. You know, one of the things that the Dharma teachings, which will be in the last lesson about really what either to give up, to lighten your boat so it can get to that other shore, the empty boat is the lesson of the Dharma. And one of them is to give up your longing for a higher realm. And you give up your lust for life. There's a whole bunch there you'll see. But, you know, that one really, I actually thought of you when I read that. And because I've been where you are, where socializing was just heartache. And that too will change. And also it might be a call for you to move and surround yourself with people that you do resonate with. I mean, resonate's a funny word in a way, but find your people. Find your people. You don't need to keep crashing into things. And like in one of the way early lessons, as we do the cleanup, you don't need to pick up every little debris. It's not your job. Mostly now it's your job to just get out of the way, let Creator do what it's doing, let the dream do what it's doing, and witness it. Witness your part in it. And just keep, with those eyes of wonder, like, whoa, wow, didn't see that coming. In amazement, not fear. How could it be so? We use those words a lot in the teachings, yeah? Luke Skywalker got in the trash compactor and came out somehow the other side. How could it be so? The Grinch, after he stole Christmas and he looked down upon the Who's celebrating. How could it be so? Just be amazed. Be amazed at your own silliness as well. And that takes humility to laugh at yourself. So we're going to wrap it up for today. We're at our time. And so you have two more days of lessons just for closure coming to you. And if we would like, we can do one more check-in next Sunday. I know Cedar would like to do that. She wasn't able to make it today. I'll just leave it up to you. I'll be here. How's that? And if you'd like to just check in, we can do that. And again, I'm available during the week or even tonight if you want to speak a bit more after we close this off. Just let me know via email. Okay. Good. Well, many blessings to you, journeyers and explorers. And welcome home. Yay. Welcome home.